friends. Welcome to the Buffer Podcast. Kind of a special edition of the show this week. We had planned out a different show with different pieces of content because there's a lot going on in the streaming world. But we're going to talk about something that a lot of people are talking about this week, which is the sudden and unexpected passing of Norm MacDonald. So before we do that, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Tone.
And I'm Joel Krausar.
So Joel and I, it seems like because we're almost the same age, that sometimes you experience people like Norm MacDonald either in similar ways or finding them on your own. What's interesting with someone like Norm, I feel like, is that he's so beloved by so many people and just so well known, which is so interesting, Joe, because I feel like in some of the things that I've read, he was often worried about not being remembered. And the other day, when unfortunately Norm, the news breaks that Norm passed away, he's the number one trending topic on Twitter the same day that Apple announces the iPhone. And I'm not trying to be morbid, but like, I didn't know if I expected that to be the case. Were you surprised at the reactions from people when they started to learn the news that Norm had passed?
Yeah, and I was kind of out of it. This week has been a very busy week professionally for me. It's our national sales meetings this week. So it's in the industry I work in, it's, you know, the busiest week of the year as far as the whole team. And we couldn't have these meetings last year because of COVID. So we have the whole team back at our headquarters. And it's just so I get the ticker, you know, pop up on my phone, and I was actually in a meeting, and it kind of, and everybody's phone had like this news app pop up and say it, and we all kind of started looking around at each other, and it was a very surreal moment where it's like we all are affected by this comedian passing away. And I think the suddenness of it, because he didn't fight his cancer battle publicly, which we find out now it's been a decades long battle with the disease. It's almost like a sudden death because there's no prep time. There's no time where you think, well, you know, they've been sick for a while. Even though we had been, we didn't have as fans that process time. And so it's just a remarkably unique celebrity death, I guess, in a way, similarly to Chadwick Boseman, who also chose to battle cancer privately, which is totally their prerogative as people. I absolutely respect that decision. But selfishly, as fans, I think we would have liked to have been a part of that journey with him. But from all the things I've read and heard the last couple of days, this end is very, you know, on brand with the way Norm lived his life. He's like, didn't want a lot of external attention, just really wanted to be with the people he wanted to be with, and didn't really care much what everybody else thought he should do. He's gonna do it his way.
The Anthony Jeselnik tweet, who's also a comedian, that just said, and I quote, "Battling cancer for 9 years without telling anyone is the most Norm MacDonald shit ever." Like, that's,
yeah, this is gonna, we're gonna swear this episode.
I don't know if I'll swear a lot, but I just thought, like, when I saw that tweet, I was like, gosh, that's so perfect. I think sometimes with people that are in the public, they're whatever, have some type of recognition, celebrities, whatever you want to call them, oftentimes we, as fans or end users, we forget that these are real people that have flaws and that get diagnosed with cancer and deal with things just like the rest of us. And you're right, Joel, and I totally respect Norm's decision and his ability to keep that private. What was surprising to me is when I was, you know, listening to folks like Conan O'Brien and Bob Saget, who both said they didn't know. Like that to me, I thought, man, you know, and you never know who's really a good friend of who, right? You kind of feel like you have a sense, but I just hope that Norm had family and maybe some close friends that he confided in. You know what I mean? That's where like my empathy as a human being goes. I can respect the desire for privacy to be out of the headlines. But I just hope for his sake that he didn't battle that alone and that he didn't live with, you know, like he has a son. I have to assume that the son knew and maybe sure. his assistant. I just hope that he had people in his corner, and I'm sure that he did, but that's just where I go into like, you know, cause I don't know how, you know, and we're all different, right? I mean, you and I both have kind of had our share of public, being in the public eye, and I don't know how I would react if I found myself in a similar situation. So I'm not going to sit here and say, and I would never judge. Like I said, I respect the heck out of what Norm did, but it's just very interesting when that happens. Because like I said, a lot of times you feel like even though Norm MacDonald may not have been in your peripheral all the time, you thought he was going to be there, right? He had a lot of different alliterations of his career. He did a lot of different things from being, you know, a 17-year-old stand-up comedian in Canada to adopting his podcast show from YouTube onto Netflix. Like he had a great career. And you thought he'd be there, you know, he would always be around, right? And that's how I felt.
Well, I think I liked Nirvana, but I was not this Nirvana huge fan like my older cousins were, because mm-hmm. I was still just young enough that I just really knew the music. I hadn't really embraced a band yet. And I remember my older cousins talking about how they felt when Kurt Cobain killed himself. I'm not drawing this parallel. Obviously, Norm MacDonald didn't kill himself. But the suddenness of his passing, I kind of immediately flashed back to some of those conversations I had with, you know, older members of my family, because much like my cousin Matt, who is a drummer in a band, and he just absolutely loved Nirvana, that was an impactful loss for him. I am a fan of comedy, and I was about the same age when Norm MacDonald took over Weekend Update that my cousin was when Nirvana was coming into their own. So that's like that was the first thing that I owned that my parents didn't like. I remember my parents hated Norm MacDonald on Weekend Update. And we were a big Saturday Night Live family. We always watched it together. I should not have been able to stay up and watch Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. at the age that I was watching Saturday Night Live. But especially when the OJ stuff hit, like it was just perfect. I was in eighth grade, and so like his passing so suddenly in his fans' eyes, it's just a similar feeling. I think I didn't cry, but I think if I had had more time to myself, I would have been pretty emotional about it, just because he is just that biting, carefree delivery of like just the whole, you guessed it, Frank Stallone. Like my friend Greg and I, he and I have been texting the last 24 hours. Like, so I says, like just those little deliveries, those little nuances, we completely copied that. That's how we talked to each other. You know, it was, I will never forget the OJ Simpson verdict. I got a detention at school because I laughed when he was acquitted or found not guilty, and because my teacher was so mad that I thought it was funny. And honestly, one of the reasons I was laughing is because my brain immediately thought, what is Norm going to do with this? Right. And the first thing he says was, this just in California, you can now legally murder someone. Like, it was like, you can get away with murder. Like, it was just relentless. And that ultimately is what gets him fired. You know, the head of NBC was friends with OJ and told him to lay off. And he's like, screw you. I'm not laying off. This guy killed two people.
What's the deal with the NBC just ruining talent? Because the same company also, remember, like, tried to stymie Howard Stern.
Well, and not they
the
fired same, Adam Sandler. I mean, they,
not the
I mean,
same guy, but I'm just saying, like, man, yeah, and Norm just like once they that guy told him to lay off, he just
doubled down.
Doubled down. It's just like so great. And
I've been watching all those Weekend Updates, and I forgot about the running bit of he'd take a book title. It's like, the Pope released a book today, and it was just like it's like something something Catholic Church, and O.J. Simpson killed his wife. Like, it's just, it was like the Cat in the Hat. It's the 50th anniversary of the Cat in the Hat. And Random House has published a different special edition. The Cat in the Hat and OJ killed his wife and Ron Goldman. Like, it was just these bits that just would, week by week, you're like, is he going to bring it back? Is there going to be a new twist on it? Right. The Michael Jackson stuff and Weekend Update. It was just so... it was irreverent, but it was like he was actually like noble. Like, it's like, these are bad people. I am going to make sure that the world knows that these are bad people. And it's just, it was just, yeah. And he really carved into the brains, I think, of so many young people. And I think so many of the comedians that I liked, you know, through college and still to this day, I think the reason I like them is because one of their influences is Norm Macdonald. I'm finding this out. Like, just when comedians are all coming together and they typically are an honest bunch, and you and I have gotten to know, you know, some pockets of comedy and comedians through our media lives, and our friend Mike Bridenstine, who was on a few weeks ago, he has said that his first stand-up show was the Norm Macdonald debacle in Iowa City, which,
yes.
go to Mike's social media, and Tom Segura has shared this story. We're not going to rehash this because it's been rehashed by so many other outlets, but it is so good. And he just... watching his talk show appearances with like Adam Sandler, the Courtney Thorne Smith one on Conan. when you watch guys like Conan O'Brien and David Letterman, and to an extent Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno, when they have no ability to control what's going to happen because Norm is there and he is just going to take it out and let it go, and no one knows what he's going to say. That is so fun to watch. Very few people can walk the high wire that Norm Macdonald did, and he just did not care if he bombed. And I think sometimes he wanted to bomb just to show people that he does not care if he's bad. He's just going to do what he wants to do.
No, you're absolutely right. He, you know, listening to Conan's podcast, and I encourage everybody to check that out. That's what they said. Like, Conan said, you know, Norm always made him genuinely laugh from the moment that he would introduce him, and Norm would kind of walk out. He would always say that Norm would give him a look, and he would just be like, oh man. And then what they would do to Norm, I guess, is they'd have a great, you know, segment with him, and then they would go, we're going to come back with more Norm. And he would go, I have nothing. And that's where he started to tell these totally random
moth story joke thing.
And that's like, Conan just loved it. What I think is so interesting is Norm is 28 when he gets hired at SNL in 93. He's there from 93 to 98. Now, in 93, I'm 10 years old. I'm watching SNL. I probably start to become aware of the Norm Macdonalds and that cast between the years of 93 to 94. But then certainly in 1995, Norm shows up in Billy Madison, which is a movie that I saw in the theaters with my friends and my friend's mom. Of course, Adam Sandler's there.
Frank, he plays Frank in Billy Madison.
He's just got such a great... it's one of those roles that I only appreciated more as the older that I got, in the amount of rewatching that I have done of Billy Madison, because he's just... I don't want to say that. I mean, Norm Macdonald was a fine actor, but it's almost so funny that he was just kind of like, hey, so
what's
Billy,
the question? He's
Billy,
like, they're asking about, it's like a who would you rather type game, and I can't remember. It's like, yeah. Burt Reynolds, or like, it's like,
right. He's just like, but, like, is it, did they like tell him, like, just be yourself? Here's the sides, and just you just be you, Norm. Like, you're not going to have an accent. Like, you're just going to, be this guy.
There was an anecdote that I saw that he and Sandler talked about on last time they were on Conan's show together. And Adam was saying, he's like, so I had this scene with Norm by the pool, and I encourage people to go back and watch. It's like an interview panel with Nick Swartzen and David Spade, Rob Schneider, Norm Macdonald, and Adam Sandler on Conan. Long story short, he's like, Adam's like, I deliver my line, and you know, Norm is just not saying anything. And he's like, so I'm just waiting, and I just keep waiting for him to say his line back to me. And Norm had passed out because they told him that he needed to just kind of act drunk. And so he just told a production assistant to just go get him a 30 pack of beer, and then he'll drink it. Like, and so he was actually drunk and passed out. But whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that was the anecdote that they told. But I play Marco Polo all the time with my kids at the pool, and I imitate Norm Macdonald going, Polo, every time. Like, when they're playing Marco Polo, and I can't wait for my kids who haven't seen Billy Madison yet, for them to like get older, watch this movie, and realize that their dad their whole life has just been imitating this way that this actor Norm Macdonald says Polo, and they who he thinks Billy's waiting for them by the pool, but he's gone to school instead.
I love it. And I just speaking of Adam Sandler, I just pulled up his Instagram, and the Sandman one day ago shared the lost tapes of Norm Macdonald, which looks to be like a 4.5 minute long montage. I haven't watched it yet, but I will. And then I love what he said. Adam Sandler said, every one of us love Norm. Some of the hardest laughs of my life with this man. Most fearless, funny, original guy we knew. An incredible dad, a great friend, a legend. Like, so that's.
Did you follow him on Twitter?
I did not. I will say that I spent some time, and it seemed like a lot of gambling advice.
Which, you know me, I like sports gambling. I find it funny.
And I don't know. This is one of those things, like, was he a good... It's so weird.
I don't know that he was good at it or not.
It seems like he really enjoyed it. But I did scroll through some tweets, and I was like,
but his long awesome. His long like play by play golf recaps. We're like, uh-huh. I remember when I first like started to see them, I was like, is this a bit, or is he actually watching this tournament and like trying to do a service? But it was just so funny because he had created this character that you never knew if this was. You know, it just turned, Norm loved golf. Like, I went back and like I found out he wrote, you know, golf pieces for Grantland, which you know, which is a ESPN division, and you know he had his little sports show. His ability to create these shows, like these talk shows, that were never successful, but if you go back and watch them, like they're so good, like they're so entertaining. But it's like he almost didn't want them to be successful. It's like it's like if he like knew that if they were a success, then he'd be like, oh man, I've got to do this every week then. Like, I don't. And I think that the inherent, my perception is that stand-up comic mentality is I always want to be able to go out on my next gig if I can. I don't want to be tied down to something. And you know, think of some of the movies that he was in. Dirty Work, obviously, we've talked about Dirty Work on this show before. And
we very recently discussed how underrated. And here's the thing, like, Dirty Work comes out in 98. I saw it. I had it on VHS. It's on HBO Max. It is so funny to revisit it.
It's, I saw
I almost hate that it, and I don't want to sit here and say that it was like panned, but I remember like my mom wasn't thrilled with having to sit through Dirty Work. And there are some moments in that movie that, yeah, it's ridiculous, but I laughed so hard then. And I did again, rewatching it. And again, like that's, you know, and there's so many great stories about the production and like the limited time they had with Don Rickles and Artie Lang, of course, is great. But yeah, so, I just feel like that's such, and I don't want to say that it's underrated. Like, I don't want to be that guy that like, I was hip to dirty work, but like,
man, I was hip to dirty work. Like,
I feel
my
like
friends and I were ahead of the curve on it. Like, there are very few things I want to be like, I knew about it before everybody else. Dirty Work was one of those things that my friend Greg Velasquez, whom I have some of the funniest moments of my life are with Greg. He and I tried to write a Simpsons episode together when we were kids. Like, it was just, we had the same desire to be funny. And we watched Dirty Work. I think we snuck into the theater because it's rated R. And I remember laughing so hard. And we came back to school. We're like, you have to see this movie. And then when it came out on VHS, like you said, I remember renting it at Blockbuster Video over and over and over again. And I also remember in college, you know, 2 a.m, there was a 24-hour video store in Sioux City where I went to college. And I remember at 2 a.m, like one of my friends on my floor, it was my freshman year of college, had never seen Dirty Work.
Oh, wow. And
so I remember I was drunk, but I wasn't like super drunk. And I remember picking up the phone, like looking up the phone number of the video store and like calling, and they had it. And I remember going to my RA's door. This is like 2:30 in the morning. Pounding on Casey, my friend, who's my RA's door. Like, he wakes up. He thinks like something's wrong because, you know, he's responsible for people's lives.
Right.
And no, his just drunk fraternity brother on the floor is saying, I need you to take us to the video store so we can go get Dirty Work. And he's like, hell yeah, I love that movie. And like, so we mounted up. We got into his Chevy Lumina, 1996 Chevy Lumina. And we drove to Taco Bell, got Dirty Work, came home and watched it. Like, so it's just, so it's not only one of my favorite movies, but it's also, you know, was the impetus for one of my favorite college memories too. Norm MacDonald brought, I think, a lot of people of our generation together because we all, like I said, almost like that alternative grunge music for that generation just right above us. His comedy was our dog whistle. And my favorite Weekend Update person. I just think that it's sad that it takes the passing of someone, I think, for us all to really appreciate how much we valued what they did for a living. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that with Norm MacDonald. Like you said, he out-trended the new iPhone, which is just unfathomable.
I mean, right. And I think, you know, again, like a lot of discovery or remembering of things that maybe you haven't thought of in a while, like when, you know, Norm had his own show on ABC, and the fact that, you know, prior to that, obviously he was doing some writing for Roseanne, and he'd also written a very very well received book. So, you know, again, this guy has a career that stretches, and I really admired when he started to do his YouTube show with Adam, and the fact that, like you said earlier, Joel, you never really knew, like, he's certainly friends with like a Bob Saget or whomever would come on, but like
Bob Saget directed Dirty Work, so I mean, he's
right. But when Norm would have these guests on his show, you always thought, like, is this kind of a shtick that he's sort of like, so what are you doing? Like, not that he wasn't prepared, but it was just so, it was just so Norm. Like, it was, and I was so happy when that started to take off. And I encourage you, if you're listening and you jump on YouTube, just search for Norm MacDonald, and I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at the guest list. You know, he had kind of the murderer's row. And that's where you start to realize, like, oh, this guy is the real deal. He's respected. And look at all these friends that he has.
Well, like, you watch like the roast of Bob Saget, where it's like he decided, I'm just going to bomb. I'm not going to be funny. I'm just going to just tell bad jokes the entire time. but by the end of it, you just see all these comedians dying because they know what he's doing. Like, they're in on the bit at that point. They're just like, I can't believe this guy is doing what he's doing right now. He's just controlling the room. And I don't think he was an egomaniac, but I think that he knew, probably because his friends had told him, that they all viewed him, like, the best comedians in the world viewed Norm Macdonald as the funniest guy in the room whenever they were in the same room together.
What's interesting, I just pulled up one of the Norm Macdonald Live YouTube videos, and it says Netflix acquired the rights to Norm Macdonald Live when they launched Norm Macdonald Has a Show. And this episode in particular was Billy Bob Thornton. So
anyone who's a fan has seen his last, he was the last stand-up that Letterman had on his show.
Yes.
And that right there is, that means something. I mean, Letterman was the gold standard for stand-up performances on late night television. Mm-hmm. And the fact that that's who he wanted to be his last person. And obviously there was that sentimental moment where you could tell how much mutual love. I loved that Norm would tell his friend, you mentioned he texted, you know, Bob Saget, you know, that he loved him. And he was a man who had no problem telling people that he cared about, that he loved them in public. And he tells that to Dave Letterman as he's choking up. But his joke in that set about Germany and World War One and World War Two, when he's just like, I can't remember the exact punchline, but he's like, you know, they did this once before, and we're like, okay, here's your permissions back, and what do? They do it again. They're like, we're going to go to war with the world. Like,
right.
it's just like that historical premise, but just delivering it just as Norm can deliver it. It's, you know, I don't know. I remember when Robin Williams died, and I remember being sad. I don't remember, like, feeling like, oh, I don't know that we're ever going to hear someone with that type of voice again, because I think that there are people who have some of that same energy. I can't think of another one, like, contemporary that has a similar approach. I know there are people who are similar. Hedberg had some Norm tendencies, some Norm influence. You could hear it. I think Jeselnik has some Norm, you know, that I don't care, I don't give an F, I'm just going to say the worst possible thing and manipulate the audience. But it's, I think there are stand-up comics who, they want to be a stand-up, and they want to be a stand-up to get famous. I don't think that wasn't Norm. Norm just wanted to be a stand-up, and whatever came. And it's sad that he's gone, but man, has it been fun going back and revisiting some things that I have forgotten about from the 90s. And even his appearance, we haven't even mentioned Turd Ferguson on Jeopardy.
Right. Like,
we haven't even brought up you know, that whole, it's a big hat. It's funny big hat. Like, that whole thing is just, he was a good sketch guy too. He's in the cork soaker sketch.
Right. I mean, that's so good.
There's so many sketches that he was involved
in. I just hope that he was at peace with, because I think in that part of his book, that those couple pages that have kind of been circulating or trending with his passing, where he was not saying that he didn't want to be remembered just for the SNL stuff, but it's just it's a very interesting take from someone like that, because, you know, in reality, he was there for 5 years, and there are people like Kenan Thompson that have been there for, you know, what, almost like 10 to 15 years. So in all reality, 5 years isn't that much time. And like I said, I think the good news for Norm was he had a lot of different versions of his career. He wasn't afraid to try things. And I think, to his credit, even if he was maybe not thought of to be first or second or third or fifth or sixth on a call sheet, he was respected enough and had friends that went, you know what? No, this guy needs to be here. He's hilarious. I'm not saying that his friends had to fight to give him opportunities, but certainly when you look at his IMDb, he's in that crew with Sandler and Schneider. And it's pretty impressive the things that those guys have been able to do. And again, when funny people go, this was the guy, Norm right. was the guy. That's where you go, you know, when whether it's Conan or Saget or Jim Gaffigan or Sandler or Schneider or Spade, Bill Maher was
everybody. Like Seinfeld just has talked about how, like, Norm would go up and you're like, I don't really want to follow this guy. Like, it's just, I really don't want to, I'm not going to try out any new material tonight because Norm's here. Like, it's.
I will say, I know, like, certain things are just ingrained in my memory and, just that interaction, I just can't stop laughing when I think about Rickles in Dirty Work because it looks like Norm and Artie are like, this is like, they just look like they're having the best time ever. Well, they can't believe that they got this guy. The things that he's saying.
Think about
fatso,
that.
So when Don Rickles says fatso, it might be the, like, it's just the best. And like, well,
did you, then there was the story about that. So they weren't sure if they were going to have him. And like that morning that he was shooting, like, Sinatra was dying, like, in the hospital.
Sinatra was in the hospital.
Yeah. And, well, like he said, like, he's like, no, sorry about your friend or whatever. And it's like, Rickles is like, yeah, he was just kind of like, meh. So Rickles is just making fun of Frank Sinatra, just talking smack. I mean, think about that. Like, that would be like the equivalent of us doing or like a radio show together and we're doing a special or whatever and we get Howard Stern for like 4 hours and he just comes in and just does his thing and we have to be like, we can't screw this up because we only have four hours to make this good. All the while just trying not to lose our minds because our, you know, someone who does a lot of what we like to do is there. Like, it's just,
no, it's it, he again, I bet that Norm, I hope that Norm felt good.
What is your favorite Norm joke that you can think of? Like, if someone says, are there any that you can remember that are just right there?
I mean, so I definitely recall some of his stand up and whether I can quote it directly or not, I feel like, you know, in 2017 he put out, and this is the title, right? Norm Macdonald, Hitler's Dog, Gossip and Trickery.
Yes.
There's some incredible moments there. I don't want to say that I never felt like Norm was shocking for the sake of being shocking because he was so intelligent. I think what I appreciated about him was his ability, as you've kind of said, to not shy away from what they, it's so hard now in 2021 to comment or to make light of things that we're going through without offending somebody. Right. And Norm was able to just kind of, hey, this is my take. This is something I'm going to say. And whether it was with kind of a twinkle or a wink or not, I think he really had the stones to do that.
And he was the first to say fake news. That's how we started every weekend update was. And now the fake news. Like, that's...
Yeah, no, you're right. So I would say I can't sit here and tell you, like, word for word my favorite moment. I know that, like, I can't wait to watch that Sandler Lost Norm tapes. Because there's just so many. Did he ever get one of those SNL best ofs? Not that I want to just remember him for SNL, but
I
certainly
don't think that he did.
Yeah,
but that's not necessarily.
I can see that. And I don't think SNL is his best work either, right? I think, you know, it's a true skill to do stand-up comedy well in the, you know, 5 to 10 minute slot on a late night guest spot. And especially to win over a David Letterman is a big damn deal.
So I looked up Weekend Update transcripts.
Yeah.
and I'm not going to read it as Norm, but this is just an example. This kills me every time I read jokes like this or hear him say these. This week, California Department of Corrections confirmed that Lyle Menendez and model Anna Erickson were married in prison. Following the ceremony, Menendez spent a romantic wedding night being raped by two white guys and a big black guy.
Oh my God.
Like, that's Weekend Update. He's doing that on like one of the biggest comedic sets. He's just ruthless. Just ruthless. Wow. And you know, not swearing. There is nothing on that you could not say on network television. It is just biting. You know, and I always joke at work, like, people are like, man, you're quick and you're really funny, which I'm not necessarily, but, and I have to tell people, and you've witnessed this, it's like, you have no idea the five steps I had to walk my brain back from.
Right, to not say what I really wanted to say.
And I think I get that from being, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old watching Norm Macdonald. I think that was imprinted on my sense of humor. Was just, yes, it's okay to say the meanest possible thing if it's true. If it's true, not saying that particular punchline was true, but if it's a truthful perception, mm-hmm. you can say it, and it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I think we are the product of good humor, and you can pick up a lot of timing from that. And Norm was just, he was just so good at it. And we're going to, the world is, was a better place with Norm contributing. And again, I think the good news is when somebody passes like Norm, they leave that body of work where you can access it on a phone or a tablet or a computer and go down a rabbit hole and just laugh. And I think, you know, that's where listening to some of these podcasts, like I said, Saget or Conan, Mark Maron even reshared an episode he did with Norm from like 10 years ago. I encourage people to do that, right? Because he was great. And Norm was at Riverside Casino in 2009. I did not go to that show, but he certainly was not, Norm was not a stranger to doing comedy in the Midwest where we're located. A friend of mine, opened for him, Chris Schlichting, stand-up comedian, and then I believe some of my former comedy sports friends were part of the opening act for that that infamous performance in Iowa City. So,
is the last one I'll read. I found that I'm not going to sleep tonight. I found a website that has all these old Weekend Update transcripts.
Perfect.
And it's like OJ's pal Al Cowling said this week that in looking for the truth in the OJ Simpson case, he sometimes talks to a picture of Nicole Brown Simpson, something that in the past would have gotten him killed by OJ.
Oh my God.
Then the next one is to illustrate the point that their client is running out of money to defend himself. OJ Simpson's lawyers said this week that if he had to do it over again, OJ would now rob them as well.
Oh my gosh.
But it's just every single one of those jokes is a banger. Like, they are just, and there were people who were, you could hear people being like, oh, like uncomfortable in the audience. And then they're like, I will firmly believe that the reason so many people were upset, like physically upset when OJ was acquitted, is because for a year and a half of that trial, every Saturday night,
right,
Norm Macdonald was telling the world he's guilty, he murdered these people. And then when the jury says otherwise, they're like, how is that possible? I think that he helped shape the country and the part of the world's opinion in that particular case.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if Norm would have had the same platform to tell people that this pandemic is real. Maybe things would be in a different spot.
Well, I think that he was. Like, if you watch his show, which, yeah, we don't need to get, we don't want to get canceled.
Yeah, but no, I just think, again, like, he was not afraid, and the amount of respect that his peers have for him, it says everything you need to know about the legacy of a Norm MacDonald. So I think we're at a point where we can wrap up the special edition of The Buffer. I just want to say that even if you're a younger person, you know, I just turned 38. If you're, I think I'm jealous if you're a younger person, and it's not because of the age. I think the fact that you can access all of the same, now there's nothing like watching it live, right? But the ability with our technology to be able to access all of this content and go from a novice of, you know, a novice Norm MacDonald fan to a seasoned one. I think that's excellent. And I just hope that people will do that. And I don't think that this will be one of those passings where people move on quickly. You know, sometimes somebody passes away that is well known or whatever, and it's kind of like a flash in the pan, so to speak. I don't see that happening with Norm. So I just, like you said, Joe, I'm going to rewatch a couple Norm things, and I'm going to laugh, and I'm going to appreciate having been around for it. Because there's nothing, I think you and I both, we enjoy a good laugh. And man, if you can find something that makes a laugh turn into a cry,
yeah,
you're laughing so hard. There's nothing better than that, so, right? I mean, it's the best.
So when I was in high school, so I was a freshman in high school in 1996. So, you know, heyday of Norm on Saturday Night Live. And we would all gather in the library and we would sit at these tables, and I was my friend Patricio, my friend Greg, my friend David Creasy, my friend Jason Lawrence. We would just sit around and just go back and forth about what our favorite Norm joke was, or what our favorite sketch was on Saturday Night Live that weekend. And I haven't talked to a couple of those guys probably in 15 years. You know, a couple of them were at my wedding, and we just, they moved, like one of them lives in Europe now, and a couple of them live in Chicago and whatever. We just haven't talked much. But yesterday evening, you know, I get a group text from one of the guys just like, we are, when you think of Norm MacDonald, that's the group of friends that I think of. And I think that's one of the reasons he was so special, is because last night I was immediately transported back, you know, to being 15, 16 years old with like guys who I don't talk to anymore, but were so important at that part of my life. And Norm MacDonald is like one of those buoying, you know, factors in our relationship. And I think that's special when there's celebrities and artists who have that effect on people. And I think that's why it's really kind of, it's sad that they're gone, but it makes you appreciate what you had in them, because it shows you the relationships that you've formed because of your enjoyment of a person's life's work.
Yeah, you, well said. I love what you said, and I think the world could use Norm, and I hope this next couple of days you'll do that. Just go on YouTube or Netflix and just enjoy.
And I don't want to make this like super religious, but I've been really interested to read that even though, you know, I read some of his jokes, clearly wouldn't necessarily pass muster at the Catholic school that you or I went to growing up. For all accounts, his friends say that, you know, he was a very religious person and was very strong in his faith. And I think it just goes to show that everyone has their own personality and their own personal way. And I think it's just interesting to hear, because you don't hear a lot about famous people and comedians who have that kind of a relationship in their own personal lives. So it's just interesting to me. It's something that I kind of felt a kinship to. So it was, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. I think that that's very interesting. I think and say some really skeptical things sometimes, but it's just knowing that there's a whole thing of forgiveness out there for you is always kind of a good, again, a buoying point in a person's life.
Yeah, you wonder if there is a heaven, if St. Peter just kind of jokingly closes the door really quick.
Well, and interestingly enough, Norm, I think he passed away on the same day that Patrick Swayze passed away several years ago. Because I was going back in my like Facebook posts, and when Patrick Swayze died, I was like, I hope Chris Farley is waiting there for you with some spandex pants and cufflinks and says, you ready for another round of this? But I've since learned that Farley's friends really hated that Chippendales Dancer sketch, but because they felt like it broke him a little bit. But
yeah,
same nevertheless, day, I can see which Norm is in Lunch Lady Land. Like he's one of the thing. It's just been so fun to revisit. And Saturday Night Live is still funny, but I hope that my kids, as they get older, have the same kind of people that they can look up to and that we had growing up. Because, man, did that cast bring us so much joy.
Oh, yeah. 100%. All right.
Are we doing the other stuff today, or are we just going to talk about Norm?
I think we've got enough of just Norm. I don't even want to mention some of the things I've been watching because I don't want to do a disservice to Norm. If anything, maybe we'll find time to knock out a normal episode. But this was good. This was good. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Thanks for the laughs.
And one of Norm's disciples, a stand-up comic who I know holds him in such high regard, we booked another guest that's not Mike Bridenstine from the comedy world, coming from your neck of the woods in Chicago. October 7th, we're going to record an episode. So I'm not gonna spoil it. Just stick around.
I'm going to spoil it. It's Andrew Dice Clay, everybody. It's Dice, baby. It's Hickory, Dice, Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating her curds in a way. I'll never forget, like, watching that with my dad and thinking, like, I'm too young for this, man.
Oh,
and it's not even a joke. I mean, you know how that finishes, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's terrible.
Yes.
It's just, so it's not, we are not interviewing.
No.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Is he in The Sopranos? Because I just finished season one of The Sopranos. Does he ever show up? It feels like that's a show he would have popped up into.
I can't remember.
He's actually a good actor. You know, one of the movies you confess that you haven't seen, he plays Lady Gaga's dad in Star is Born, and he's really good in that movie. Yeah, he's a good actor. I like Andrew Dice Clay.
I don't think he shows up. I don't think so. All right. Listen, we're going to get out of here. Rate, review, subscribe to this podcast, The Buffer, on all the places like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Anchor.fm. And tell your friends that there's more good content to come. And go have a laugh, courtesy of Norm MacDonald. And we'll see y'all very soon.
Bye. I didn't mean to steal Smartless's goodbye there. My bad.